say, one, two, it's coming true. No, it doesn't sound like it.
Hello. Hey. That's the key, to say hello, okay? You may have noticed that our traffic light is working. You know, we are creatures of habit. Just in case you forget, red means to stop, green means to go, and yellow means hurry up. A quick report on Mike. Mike went to see his primary, and everything checked out fine, but it was recommended that he see his cardiologist, and so hopefully he may have, or coming soon, he would be seeing his cardiologist. And so let's continue to pray for him and for others who are not well. Today we are going to be talking about facing the giant. I want you to say this after me. Giant, you are coming down.
Giant, say it. You are coming down.
Right. And by the time we get to the 11th page of my notes, he would be coming down. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of David and Goliath. I can still remember and picture my Sunday school teacher telling the story. And you remember the flannel graph issue with the easel? And then they're telling the story, and David is at the bottom of the hill with the sheep, and telling the story about the hill, and she would place that picture on the hill, and then the giant came up, and she placed this figure on top of the hill coming down. I still remember that. And so I want you to remember that David, the shepherd boy, he loved and feared God all his life. He knew this God because it was the God who helped him to kill the lion and the bear that came up to destroy his flock. David was tired of this Philistine giant who came up every day, twice a day, to defy the God of Israel. And folks, I don't know what your giant in your life might be today, but that giant is going to come every day and remind you and tell you that he's not going anywhere. You have to figure out what you're going to do with him. But based on the authority of God's word, I know that that giant can come down if we continue to pray and to trust God. David said to himself, enough is enough. I am going after this giant. So you and I have giants today. I don't know what they are. And they come in different sizes and shapes and form. But God wants to give us deliverance of that giant. You may not have a giant today, whatever that is. You may know someone who has a giant, but that giant is very concerning to you and your everyday life. And you want victory over it. And God promised that he is going to give victory. He gave us the authority, and he said that victory can be yours if you are faithful. I don't know if you have seen the movie Facing the Giant. Nice movie. If you have not watched this before, I encourage you to watch it. And there were some giants in that movie. And little by little, when God intervened because of the faithfulness of the people involved where there were giants, God removed those giants one by one and he gave victory. So first of all today, let's consider the giant of doubts and fears. Do we have doubts and fears in our lives? Do we fear of what may happen, what may come? In 1 Samuel 17, 10 and 11. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Growing up, I was never one to be wanting to involve in a fight or start a fight or anything like that. And especially growing up in the church and Sunday school, you know that that was not part of the thing that you do. But there was this guy who was just aggravating me and just giving me a hard time, and this one occasion, even in my face and pushing me. And so eventually we got into it. Next thing I know, that he was face down on the ground. And I'm talking to him to get up, and he was not moving. I started to walk away, and then turning back thinking that this guy is going to get up. I was scared. I don't remember exactly what I did, how I hit him or whatever. And then I got behind a tree as I was heading towards home, and I was peeping to see if he would get up. And he did. He did get up, and I said, "Thank you, Lord." But Saul was afraid, and undoubtedly so, because this Goliath was 11 foot 4 inches tall. Anyone would probably be afraid of such a figure. And so he was always dressed with a helmet, a face shield, a plate on his chest, the arms, the legs. He was protected like the scales on a fish. And when he walked the earth trembles. Boom, boom, boom. You could hear him from a distance coming. A great giant. Is your giant 11 foot 4 inches tall? Maybe your giant is even smaller than that. But the strength and the power of that giant, whether great or small, you are still concerned about it. And my prayer is today that we would learn, we will find out that this giant does not have to trouble us any longer. But we could trust God. So Saul was afraid. The Israelites were also afraid, and undoubtedly so as well. Not only afraid of him and seeing the giant, but they observed Saul and his courage failed him, their leader. And they were afraid of that. Saul before was a warrior, a courageous man, ready for battle, a leader. And now he is afraid of this giant. And we ask why. Why is he afraid? In chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, it says this. 16 and verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." And then in verse 14, "Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." So Saul, this was taking place in his heart and life, and why he backed down, because the Spirit of God was no longer striving with him. And folks, all I can tell you is that for us to continue to be faithful to God, to be obedient to his voice when he talks, when he calls on us, and don't treat it lightly. Because when we disobeyed what God through his Holy Spirit is saying to us, chances are that God's Spirit may want to depart from our life, and we don't want that. Saul was also afraid for David. Saul was saying to David, I can't let you do this. You are a little boy. This guy is a giant. He's been fighting from his youth, a warrior. I can't let you do this. And Saul was trying to convince David that he should back off from this battle because he cannot handle this giant. And so, folks, you see what's happening here is that when we are filled with doubts and fears and we are not sure of what's going to happen, we want to pass that on to someone else and to bring discouragement to them. And we need to be mindful of this, in whom we believe and what's going to happen. So what was David's resume? Why was he so determined? When we go to apply for a job today and we present a resume, it's like 2 and 3 pages long. David's resume was 3 lines. I kill a lion, I kill a bear, and anyone else that come, I'm going to take care of them. That was his resume. And was that enough to convince Saul that this guy is about to do this? But most importantly, as Christians, what's on our resume? Is it our relationship with God? How strong that is? How close we are to God? Is that part of our resume? And folks, I encourage you that spirituality and our relationship with God should be number one in our hearts and lives. And we should be strong. What are some of the doubts and fears that we face today? In our home, maybe our children, our husband-wife relationship, sickness, ailment. Do we see a huge giant or do we see a big God who can take care of this? Remember, our God is bigger than any problem and any trial that there might be. And our relationship with God will determine our next move to victory to bring down that giant. And my prayer and trust is that we would continue to work on our relationship and to be closer drawn to God. The giant of sickness. I don't understand why God brings sickness and ailment to good people and why there are so many sickness that there is, some of them that we have never heard before. New names are coming up for them. But in verse 14 and 15 in chapter 16, verse Samuel. Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you." The spirit of God has left Saul. Saul turned away from God and his duties, and as a result, God brought righteous judgment against Saul by removing himself from his life. Removing the assistance God provided for him. When the Spirit of God departs, all good goes. We are not rational beings anymore. Because somehow whatever is taking place in our heart and life, when something else comes in, when men and women grieve and quench the spirit by willful sin and disobedience, the Holy Spirit departs and will not strive with us. And so folks, whatever you do, whatever happens, be faithful to God. Be obedient. Do what he asks us to do. Follow his command. Do as he says, and the Spirit of God will not depart from us. An evil spirit took possession. When there is a vacuum or an emptiness in our lives, it opens the door to be filled. And 90% of the time is not going to be filled with the goodness of God and what pleases God, but more than likely is going to be an evil spirit. And if God and His Holy Spirit do not rule over us, sin and Satan will have possession of us. And so the challenge for us today is that we don't want any vacuum or any emptiness in our lives to be there, so that to allow something else to come in and fill that. But even daily we want God, Holy Spirit, to fill us, to renew us, so there would be no emptiness or vacuum in our hearts and in our lives. At times, Saul would tremble and even feel that someone was choking him. This made him unfit for business, and he could not function. It's a sad thing that when the Holy Spirit is gone and something else come. But then David's music relaxes Saul. David becomes Saul's physician, and the physician, there was no antibiotic or other medicine. His physician says, music is going to do it. Just like how we have music and worship today that lift our spirit, music is going to be the thing that is going to help Saul. So it was music. Music was relaxing to Saul. In verse 16, chapter 16 and verse 23, it says this. As he was walking, in verse 23, whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. Folks, I can't tell you enough what music can do. Even maybe you might be so down and out and discouraged, but you put that CD in your car when you're driving, or at home you put a CD in to play music as you're working along, and that seems to just changes everything at lifting our spirit up. And that's exactly what David did. And the whole object and plan was to get Saul to repent from his evil ways and allow God's spirit back in his life. That was the goal, to get his attention. When things are not going right in our lives, and God uses different ways and means to get our attention, maybe other people will come in and be part of that. It could be music, it could be God's word, it could be something that would always be there to lift our spirit. What physical condition do you have today that seem to be a giant? Whatever that is, or you could think about, know that God is greater than any of those things, sickness, whatever the case may be. The giant of depression. Saul was very angry for Samuel 18, verse 8 to 9. This refrain galled him. They were credited David with tens of thousands. He thought, but what, and me with only thousands, what more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Saul became insane just because of one figure. He became insane because one man, one boy, believed in God in his heart, wholeheartedly, and he trusted God. He couldn't figure how that, But he was beside himself. He was so depressed over this whole situation that he could not sleep, staying awake, thinking of what he can do about this situation, about this lad. But his appreciation for David turned into jealousy and rage. And jealousy may not seem to be a major sin, but in reality, it is one step short of a murder. And that's what it was in this situation. Saul attempted to murder David many times. He was bent in getting rid of David, and he attempted to kill him twice. In chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing his harp as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I will pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. And that's what depression, and that's when how people get when God's Spirit is no longer working. The third time he says, "I will give you my older daughter in marriage, Merab. Just fight the battles of the Lord and I will give her to you." Saul's aim was, in doing this, that the Philistines will take care of him. The fourth time, Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David, and Saul loved this and he was pleased with it. And Saul said, "Well, on one condition is that you kill 100 Philistine." Saul, knowing now that the Philistine will take care of him. But he did not only kill 100 Philistine, he killed 200 of them. And so he was able to marry to Michal. David was faithful to God. And by this time he was hoping that Saul is going to get the message how great God is and what God can do. The giant of finances, the economy. In 1 Samuel 18:4, Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and he gave it to David along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Jonathan was Saul's son. And of course, he was the son of the king, and that meant that he was not hurting for anything. He had everything he wanted. And all that he had, he gave it to David because there was a friendship between David and Jonathan. And Jonathan gave him everything, the robe, probably the best, the finest linen in those days, give him his tunic, give him the sword, the best that there was. Jonathan gave him his bow, his belt, is everything. What about our distressed economy? We are living in some tough times and people are hurting everywhere. Businesses are closing down. Many are laid off. Hours are cut. Shortage of money. Losing money in the stock market. Repossession of homes and cars and foreclosures, can't afford to pay their mortgage. People are living in the street. Everywhere you drive, there is a yard sale, people trying to make some extra money. But folks, what about God's economy? You think there is a shortage in God's economy? You think there might be a shortage of God's love and His grace and His mercy, His forgiveness? You think He still intervened today with our situation? solving problems, giving answers to prayer. God's economy is never dry, is always open. His word says, my children will not go begging bread. And that's what God's economy is all about. The giant of sorrow. Do we have sorrow in our lives today? So David triumphed in chapter 17, 1 Samuel 50 to 52. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. He struck the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that the hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. The dead was strewn along the Sharon road to Gath and to Ekron. The Philistine were undoubtedly sad because the giant had fallen. For 40 days, this giant came out twice a day, and he mocked the Israelites and their God. And they were happy about that. No one came out to challenge. So they were going through a grieving process. Death is a painful experience. A lot of people have gone into deep depression and isolation. As God's children, as Hope Community Church family, it is okay for us to grieve whatever, however long we need to. It is okay to grieve because that's part of our being. It's okay to lean on someone's shoulder and cry. It is okay for that to happen. And in the process, believing that God is going to bring healing and God is going to watch over us and give us victory. The giant of loneliness. In part of verse 51c in chapter 17, when the Israelites saw that the hero was dead, they turned and they ran. Then the men of Israel, Judah, surged forward with the shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sharon road and Gath and Ekron. Loneliness is a feeling of being lonely. And not only that, but it's one of the killers of our day, where people have turned to suicide in many cases. We can, as Hope Community Church, we can do something about this situation, about the loneliness. We need to continue to be friendly and to be welcoming. In the community where we live, we need people to feel that they no longer need to be lonely, because we are becoming and we are part of their lives. When we walk by and say hello and how are you, and learn of their difficulty and want to be a part of that. When there is difficulty in someone's life, in our lives, we can be lonely. When there's problem with our family, we can be lonely. When there is trouble on the other side of the hill or the mountain, we can be lonely. Defeat brought togetherness. It was not until the giant was killed and out of the way that they saw themselves as a body and not as individual, the Israelites. But it did that for them. Victory brought rejoicing. The army of Israel and Judah brought rejoicing. Their relief, a heavy burden, was lifted up when the giant was taken out of the way. Isn't it true that whatever we are going through in life, and when it is gone and removed and done with, the problem is solved, the situation is resolved, that there is smile and there is laughter, there is rejoicing because the giant is gone. Healing has taken place. And so whatever it is that you're going through in life today, remember that joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And in closing, I would like for us to think of the giant and 11 foot 4 inches, a helmet, a face guard, arms, legs. And David is standing there wanting to take this giant out. There was very little room, as I'm trying to picture this, with the helmet and the face guard and everything. And David probably has maybe that amount of space on the temple area. And David, he acted the best way he possibly can, and that's what he knows that he can do. And he picked up that sling and that stone, and he let it go. He had the confidence that God was going to take care of this. How many times we are in a situation and we question God, well, God, I don't have enough, I don't have enough room there. What if I miss? What if? And God is saying, are you going to argue with me? I tell you to pick up the stone and just let it go. That's all we have to do. Just let it go. And God, like a sharp shooter, that stone might be doing this, but God knew exactly where it's going to go. And it hit in the right place and brought the giant down. We need to remember that the most important thing in bringing the giant is to continue to believe and to have the faith and to obey God. And God is saying, just let it go and leave the rest to me. I will take care of it. As we pray this morning, I want to encourage you that whatever that giant in your life is to bring it before God. And before I close with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anyone in our midst who is saying by an uplifted hand, there is that giant in my life, I want victory over it, and I want to pray for you? Many people are raising their hand. I want to encourage you as we pray. I want you to think that your God, our God, is bigger and greater than any giant. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we thank you that you have been faithful in the past. You have been with us. You give us victory. Remind us this morning that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will always be the same. And the God who delivered David from the lion and the bear, David believed that the same God is going to help him to bring that giant down. God wants to bring that giant down and give you victory. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray especially for all those who have lifted their hands in prayer, that you would assure them that victory, that deliverance is on its way. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name.